Radio 1 podcast. Radio 1 podcast. Download them for free at bbc.co.uk/radio1.
Now. The Scott Mills Daily.
Hello, I'm Scott. Right, listen, I want your opinion on this, okay?
Uh-huh.
You chopper, you
yeah.
Becky, right. So, is this right? One of my mates is thinking of calling off his wedding, which is in September.
Okay, yeah, okay? That's right.
What?
That's fine.
I haven't told you.
Oh, yet. Right, okay.
Okay. Because of the way his fiance cleans her teeth.
Right.
But it's not just the cleaning of the teeth, because she cleans her teeth, and then she has some mouthwash, and does this. I'm not sure this is... I know. I'll try and do an impression of what it's like, okay?
Yeah.
So it's like, teeth, all fine.
Yes.
Then it's like... thank you. I'll use this drink, okay?
Yeah,
okay. Oh, God, I've got it in my eye. Look. And he thinks
it's... Eye? How did you manage to do that?
I spat it out. He thinks it's so disgusting that he might actually get rid and call off his wedding. Is that right or not? Because we've spoken about ridiculous reasons to get rid of people before. Is the way someone gargles mouthwash and spit it out, is that enough to actually not marry them?
Well, if he finds, you know, if that is affecting
him so much. I don't think he'll go through with it, but he's really, really not feeling that at all.
Has he tried talking to her about it? Probably not if he's a man.
No, probably not.
He'll just won't even bring...
He'll just call the whole wedding off and she'll be sat there bawling her eyes and goes, what have I done?
It was the mouthwash that did it.
But her breath will smell nice.
Yeah, exactly.
That's all right.
Radio 1 Podcasts. Radio 1
Podcasts. Charlie in commentary has been on revising going, well, how else do you use mouthwash, Scott? Please demonstrate the correct etiquette, as I don't want to be jolted at the altar.
That's a good point.
No, I was trying to do an impression of... it just really, really it doesn't like it at all. It's just the way that they do it.
Mm.
That's right. Hello, Radio 1.
Hello.
Hello, who's that?
Hello, Scott. It's Kim from Gloucester.
Hello, Kim. What are you saying?
My boyfriend annoys me when he drinks coffee.
Right.
He slurps his coffee really bad, and he won't even drink it in the same room as me anymore.
Okay. And is this making you want to end it?
I don't think I'd go that far, no.
End the relationship or end her own existence?
I meant the relationship.
Oh, right, okay.
No, not the relationship, but it does drive me up the wall.
Mm.
So what does he do then?
He just slurps it really bad and makes a slapping noise when he swallows it.
A slapping noise?
With his lips.
Oh, I hate that.
Yeah, and it drives me up the wall. He knows it does, and so now he doesn't just stay in the room anymore. He goes out to the kitchen or even upstairs.
Yeah,
that sounds like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you're laughing now. That hasn't wound you up.
No, you've made the hairs on my arm stand up.
Well, that is the effect we have.
All the ladies.
If only it was that easy.
So you have talked to him about this, have you?
Oh, yeah, I'm always nitpicking at him.
And he doesn't mind going into a different room just to drink his coffee?
Well, I think he feels the glare. And then he just gets up and goes in another room. And I did say to him last night, why have you gone in the kitchen? He goes, you know why.
You know well. You know damn well why. Because I'm having a coffee.
You don't think he's deliberately slurping now so that he can go in another room and, you know, get away from you for a while?
You might have hit the nail on the head there.
Yeah.
You see, people need to talk to each other about these things, don't you think?
Oh, yes.
You know, because
yeah.
people stay with these people and it really grates on them. And eventually it's all going to come out at some point.
Yeah.
At the altar.
Yeah. Okay, I love you.
BBC Radio 1 Podcast.
Coming up in the next half hour, the Mambo Twister has arrived. I think this is maybe as good as the Hawaii chair. It's a keep fit device, okay?
Yeah.
And you just kind of put your feet on them, okay, and twist around, and it looks like you're doing some kind of weird dance, but you're not.
You're exercising.
You're keeping fit.
Mm. So, staying toned.
And it does say that it tones like your thighs and your buttocks, and it's so versatile.
As long as you've got the Mambo Twister, you can get that workout when and where you want.
So, after 4:30, we are going to put this to the test. Can you actually use the Mambo Twister absolutely anywhere?
This is a podcast from BBC Radio 1.
The Mambo Twister has arrived then. Very simple bit of equipment. You kind of stand on it, wiggle around, and it claims that you then get toned. Of course, it also promises you this.
As long as you've got the Mambo Twister, you can get that workout when and where you want.
So you left Radio 1, did you, with the Mambo Twister?
I have left Radio 1 with the Mambo Twister, yes.
And where are you at the moment?
I'm outside a pub near Radio 1.
Well, the thing is, as you know, with the Mambo Twister...
As long as you've got the Mambo Twister, you can get that workout when and where you want.
So you, Scott, can get this workout when and where you want. And I know that you are a big fan of having a drink in a pub.
Well, yes, that's true, but also I am a big fan of working out.
And so imagine if you could combine the two of having a drink in the pub and working out at the same time.
Yeah, imagine that.
Would that be like heaven for you?
I probably can't think of anything better that I'd rather do.
Well, it's strange you should say that then, because why don't you just go into the pub and order yourself a drink?
Taking the Mambo Twister with me.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Take the Mambo Twister with you.
All right, I'm now going into the pub.
Okay. Is it busy?
Yeah, there's a few people in.
Oh, good.
I think he should go for a... What do you think he should drink?
I think he should order a white wine spritzer.
Yes, the spritzer, brilliant.
Okay, here's the issue.
What's the issue?
Unfortunately, I've left my wallet at work.
Oh. Have you not got a tab in that particular pub?
I haven't at the moment, no.
Order a white wine spritzer. Say, you know who I am, don't you? And I'll be back later to pay.
Okay.
What are you doing, signing
it? He's so scared, isn't he?
Hello. Oh, hang on. Someone's asking for directions.
He's displaying his legendary bar presence.
What are these? It's a new exercise device. Basically, what you do is just put your feet on them like that and just twist away, and it just tones everything up.
Which I think it's for younger people.
No, it's for everyone, all ages.
Do you think you could...
Okay.
Could you stop flirting and get a drink?
I've changed my mind. I think you should have a Harvey Wallbanger.
No, they don't do... Can I have a white wine spritzer, please? Thank you.
Are you doing it yet? Are you doing it now?
No, you haven't told me to.
No, that's right. Have you?
Right, okay.
Is the white wine spritzer on the way?
It's on its way, yeah.
But this Mambo Twister is already getting some admiring looks, is it?
Yeah, from a man at the bar.
Where is the Mambo Twister at the moment?
It's in my hand.
Okay.
The spritzer's coming.
Excellent. And they're fine that you haven't paid for it, are they?
Yeah, at the moment.
Okay.
It might kick off.
They'll get their money's worth in entertainment in a minute.
Thank you very much. I'll pay you in a minute. Okay.
Now...
I can't twist and pay at the same time.
Very true. But I think you might be able to twist and drink at the same time. So, could you put the Mambo Twister down...
You're joking.
Put the Mambo Twister on the floor.
Twist and drink.
Yeah. She seemed very excited at the prospect of twisting and drinking.
Twist and drink, yeah.
It sounds like you've got quite an audience there now.
Uh-huh. Okay, they're on the floor.
They're on the floor. Is the drink in your hand?
It's a bit full, the drink. Hang on a second.
Mm-hmm. We've done necked it.
That's nice, yeah. Okay.
Okay. And basically, in your own time, get on the Mambo Twister and start the workout. Because let's not forget, Scott.
As long as you've got the Mambo Twister, you can get that workout when and where you want.
That's so good. I'm twisting and drinking. Even though I'm consuming calories at the same time, they're coming off. What do you think? Do you want to go? I'd like if you had a go. Okay, come on, have a go, come on. Right, there's a man at the bar who's going to have a go with me now. Right, here we go.
If he injures himself, we're not insured.
Standing on the twister. Okay, and now just twist. And drink, twist and drink, twist and drink. Twist and drink. Look at that!
Is he still on?
Are you all right?
Yeah, I'm
okay. He's loving it. He's got a pint in his hand, and he's on the Mambo Twister.
There's some lady in there sounds very excited by this.
Everyone's excited.
Yep, but they didn't sound that excited when you were on it. This man's got on it. Could you see this as a new advertising campaign for them? Normally, they have it in bright sunshine with people in leotards in a park, but maybe in a pub in the middle of town with you surrounded by a load of drinkers, it might go down quite well.
I tell you what, it's a surprise hit in this pub.
Good.
Scott Mills.
Scott Mills.
Radio 1.
So at the moment, Scott is in a local pub, where he's become quite popular thanks to the Mambo Twister. The Mambo Twister is basically this bit of equipment you stand on, wiggle around, and it's meant to tone your thighs and your buttocks. And of course,
as long as you've got the Mambo Twister, you can get that workout when and where you want.
We now need to move on to the next stage of you testing it.
Yes.
How have you done with the drink? Have you had quite a bit of the white wine spritzer?
I've had a little bit of it.
Okay. You see, the thing is, when you left here as well, you said that you were quite desperate for the loo.
I am.
Right. Now's your chance to go.
Oh, no.
Put the white wine spritzer down.
No.
And take the Mambo Twister into the toilet with you, and let's not forget,
as long as you've got the Mambo Twister, you can get that workout when and where you want.
So where you want is at the urinal, and when is now, because you're desperate for the toilet.
I do need to go.
Are you in the loo now?
Yeah.
Well, how was that?
Why are you straining?
Because there's some wee on the floor. And I don't wanna...
You might damage your twisters.
I don't want to make the twister dirty.
It might be water.
It might not be, though.
Yeah, but it might be. So, put the Mambo Twister down.
Oh.
Please.
This is an extreme sport now. They're going to be sliding all over the place.
Are you on the Mambo Twister in front of a urinal?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, you're not going to get him. No.
Pop. Pop out Mini Scott and away you go.
You want me to have a wee whilst on the Mambo Twister?
I want you to get Mini Scott out and away you go.
Right, we're filming this. I don't think anyone will see this.
We'll cover it up with the Radio 1 logo. It'll be fine.
So, yeah, whatever. I can't twist and...
Try!
I can't twist and pee.
Try!
No, it'll go everywhere.
Well, that's the point.
Hi. Sorry, one of my bosses has just walked into the urinal. And I'm on the Mambo Twister. That really is bad. Oh, no, that's really bad.
Why is one of our management in the pub in the afternoon? Have you asked him that?
I don't know, but he's made a really quick exit after he just washed his hands, put the hand dryer on and left.
Had you already got it out at this point?
No.
Oh.
Have you got it out now?
Yeah.
Sorry, that's...
So are you weeing and twisted?
I'm going to wee and twist.
Go.
It's impossible to do.
Well, you don't...
Be careful of that camera. You don't want to see anything. Hang on.
Oh, no, we're going to hear it and everything.
Do you want to hear it?
Yes.
No.
Okay. Okay, I'm twisting and weeing. Now! Yeah! Feels pretty good. That is... I'm kind of... Oh, it's gone everywhere now. Oh, no!
No!
I couldn't twist fully there, but I've twisted as much as I could.
Where have you weed all over?
My shoes.
You have kind of proved that you can work out wherever you want, whenever you want.
Absolutely.
And have you finished weeing now?
Yeah, I finished weeing.
Okay, you're going to come back?
Yeah, I might actually have to get some tissue. Okay, bye.
Might have to get some what?
Tissue.
I thought you said fish and chips. Why would you get fish and chips?
Defeats the whole point of the exercise, really.
Right, wash your hands before you come back.
I'm going to wash my hands.
Thanks. And disinfect
your... wash the Mambo Twister.
Yes, please. Thank you. Okay. Bye. Radio 1
Podcast. So, that was me trying out the Mambo Twister. You can really can use it anywhere.
So you were stood on a Mambo Twister.
Yeah.
Not quite about to have a wee.
Mm.
But in a gents' toilet when a member of Radio 1 management walked in.
Yes.
And at no point before that you didn't notice them.
I didn't.
When you were stood drinking your white wine spritzer
with a crowd,
showing off to everybody in the pub, the middle of the pub, I really
didn't see him there. Do you think he was just walking past and thought, oh, I need a bit of a wee, and then comes
well,
in?
Well, I would have definitely thought that. I couldn't imagine a member of Radio 1 management spending the afternoon in the pub.
No.
I would imagine he'd been to a very important high-level meeting and was just
popped by.
pop by and was desperate.
Yeah.
Even though the pub's only 100 yards away from the toilets in this building.
He was in and out in seconds.
What was he?
The toilet, yeah, he was.
Yeah. Well, I'm not surprised. I'd have been in and out in seconds as well if I'd seen you doing what you were doing.
Now, here's the thing. My concern on this is that we filmed it.
Why are you concerned about
Well,
that?
Because obviously people are going to see me having a wee. And that, for me, means that we have stooped to a new low,
A lot of people are looking forward to seeing the video.
Really?
You're just giving them what they want.
It is good.
Have you seen it?
Yeah, I've seen it. He's editing it upstairs as we speak, right. And it is good.
Why is it good?
It's just funny.
Okay, good.
I don't think you can see anything.
Right, good.
Unless you look close.
No,
I think you might zoom in on that.
Really? Yeah, see what you've done there? Yeah. Very good. Actually, that deserves a... Yeah.
It'd be better if it had happened in time with the gang. Yeah.
You can't always have these things on standby.
You can't, though, can you?
Anyway, so, yeah, that video will be up... When will it be up?
Later today.
Oh, good. BBC.co.uk.
No hanging around.
No.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Okay, you know we were talking about acting last week?
Yeah.
And I was saying that I have been offered a cameo in Hollyoaks.
Yes.
And you haven't. Well, it's fine. Mm-hmm. You're fine about it now, aren't you?
Yeah, it's all right.
Well, here's some more news.
Okay.
We've been offered a role in a very famous series on the TV about police.
We have?
Well, no, one of us has.
Right.
There's only one role going.
Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I mean, we could toss a coin or something, but I would rather, if it's okay with you, to work out who gets the role. Maybe have some kind of act off. What do you think?
Are you want us to act off?
Maybe tomorrow on the show.
Okay.
And whoever is best will get the role in the famous TV series about the police.
Okay.
What do you think that could be? Police. Think about it.
Heartbeat.
That's right. No, it's not Heartbeat. It's not Heartbeat.
Are you doing a Crime Watch reconstruction?
No.
That never
materialised.
No.
We wanted to be on one of them. They didn't want us. Now, filming is on Thursday, okay? And whichever of us it is, we do get to be an actual policeman.
An actual policeman? Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
Okay. And you get to wear a uniform and everything.
Have you got one of those already in your wardrobe at home?
No, I haven't.
Maybe you'll be able to get to keep the uniform if you do the part, and you'll be able to add it to your Red Indian and Nazi outfit that you keep in your wardrobe for fancy dress
and
occasion.
Caveman.
And caveman, yeah.
Thing is, if they could, like, you know, work some kind of Red Indian into the police drama,
you'd be head and shoulders ahead of me then already.
I can't see it that would happen, but so you get to wear a uniform. Good morning. And so,
is that actually what you're more excited about?
I'd quite like to wear a
more
police uniform
than anything else.
Yeah. Anyway, so tomorrow, if it's all right with you, we'll have an act off.
Right.
Because you're quite good.
Pretending to be policeman.
Oh, well. We'll work out the details. Probably yes, I would imagine. Mm-hmm. But it'd be good because like your acting is, you know, you've always been on the wrong side of the law, haven't you?
Don't patronise me. Yeah, I've always been on the wrong side. Yeah.
Remind people of what you were in the school play.
I was a prostitute.
That's right.
Jimmy Manson, is it Hill Street Blues?
No.
And thanks to everybody on the text saying, is it Juliet Bravo? Cagney and Lacey?
Right.
I'll be Cagney, you be Lacey.
Are we allowed to say what it is?
Midsummer Murders.
But no.
Is this going to turn into another half an hour where you just quote detectives?
Yeah, again. Keep listening, everyone. It's, of course... ITV1's The Bill.
Oh, that was the only one we didn't guess.
What do you want? He's not here. It's been difficult with me. I'm on my own with the kids.
I presume it's a non-speaking role we're going for, is
no,
it?
That was me playing the woman in the 90 who opens the door to the police officers when they come round.
Right.
But yeah, we get to be... one of us gets to be an actual policeman.
Excellent.
All right, so we'll have an act off tomorrow.
Download them for free at bbc.co.uk/Radio 1.
Now, you know our friend Tina?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? You know, every so often I give her a little bit of stick because she has that unusual phobia. Do you know what I'm talking about? She has an unusual phobia of twins.
Of twins?
Yeah.
Right.
Didn't you know that?
No.
You know Tina?
Yes.
Yeah, right, okay. Her phobia is an irrational fear of twins.
In what way?
Well, she just goes, every time she sees twins.
What, and like runs away?
She really can't deal with it at all.
Right.
It didn't help one time when she came out of Hammersmith Tube Station in London. There was a twins convention going on. Unlucky enough. But she just, it's weird. She just has a thing about twins.
Right.
They really, really freak her out. And I have found out today where this all comes from.
Okay.
It's from ages ago, and a documentary she saw called The Twins. And this is what has made her have this fear.
All from a documentary?
Yeah, okay.
Oh, it's weird.
I'll play this, listen.
This is Frida Chaplin. And this is her sister, Greta Chaplin. The twins always dress as mirror images of each other and speak almost in unison with strong York accents.
So this is two properly weird twins, OK, who talk at the same time and finish each other's sentences.
I'm surprised you didn't get a phobia of voiceovers. Blimey, how scary
is... quite ominous, that man, isn't
that bloke?
The twins are 45 years old, and the effects of wind and weather have made their faces slightly different.
It's the wind and the weather. That's why our faces are a little bit different. Can't you tell?
They are basically these two 45-year-old women. They're quite sort of haggard-looking with long brown hair. And they do... When he says mirror image, like literally one holds their bag in the left hand and one holds their bag in the right.
Whoa.
It is quite scary.
They have that sort of look of sort of eeriness about them. They're very strange.
Listen to the music.
Among their paired possessions, there are few clues to the twins' notorious past. Except perhaps these handbags.
See, that makes me want to watch it.
Yeah,
absolutely. What was the twins' notorious past involving handbags?
That bloke is really scaring me, though.
Very scary, man.
There's some more. Oh, the music is freaking me out.
I only put this on to scare you.
Oh, it's horrible.
What is the matter with these twins?
It's really weird, because when that music is playing, the camera, there's nobody in shot, but the camera's, like, panning over a bed with, like, lots of teddy bears and handbags and just general clothes and stuff. It's
I kind
really
of do
eerie.
Understand where Tina's irrational fear
you
has
You are getting
come from.
Scared by the music, though, aren't you?
Yeah,
and which means you make a rubbish policeman.
Oh, not the music!
Can't act really tough if you're being scared by music.
Can you go on, Baghetti?
Because you've been nothing but evil.
The film's off, all the film's off, I tell you now, ain't you? I don't want to go to the proper film. I don't want to do it.
What are they saying? Is that the two twins talking?
Yeah, so basically what happens is if you listen really carefully, you can tell that they are so alike that they just finish each other's sentences. So that's why it just sounds like gobbledygook.
Okay.
Can you go on, Baghetti?
It's because you've been nothing but evil.
The film's off, all the film's off, I tell you now, ain't you? I don't want to go to the proper film. I don't want to do it.
Okay, yeah, I don't like it.
I think they finish each other's sentences because they're the only two who know what the other one's saying.
I don't like it. This is just noise.
That's wondering now, she's wondering up and down.
Of course, they're down the chair, like the prisoner. They want them following me, yeah, and things.
Walk up and down, indeed.
I don't want them stood on steps following me.
Oh, my God.
He said a strong York accent, and nobody that I've met from York is strong or not ever sounded like that.
That's strange.
But they call each other, they don't call each other by their names either, they just say twin.
Evie, tell him to go, twin.
Oh, yeah, they do.
Tell him to go, twin.
Tell him to go, twin.
Twin.
So, female chuckle brothers.
But it's quite funny, because they're... it's not funny, it's quite serious, but they're obsessed with the guy next door, right, who they think is Prince Charles, and they talk about
what?
Him in... I know.
What do you mean? What, so they think that Prince Charles lives next door to them?
So they really fancy this guy who lives next door, who they
both
think
of
is...
them?
Yeah, who they think is Prince Charles, and it appears halfway through the documentary that maybe they've got it wrong.
Far from being Prince Charles, the man the twins have been cursing and yet are compelled to visit is their neighbour, who runs a clothing factory behind the house.
So it's not Prince Charles, is it?
It's easy to get them mixed up, though. Yeah. You know, you can see where the confusion came
from. Go on. I really want to see this show now, I think. even though the music actually and that man is horrible.
Oh. Among their paired possessions, there are few clues to the twins' notorious past. Except perhaps these handbags.
Yeah!
Handbags!
I can understand where our friend Tina got the fear from, yeah, just from watching that show. Also, you know she works in the music industry.
Mm-hmm.
Guess who one of the first acts she ever had to work with were?
Go on.
The Proclaimers. She was telling me she had to sit between them once in a taxi.
That would have been her worst nightmare.
Absolutely.
Radio 1 Podcasts.
Now, we're talking about our friend Tina before Newsbeat, who has a weird fear of twins after a documentary she saw ages ago about...
Twins.
Thought
I'd help you there.
In York. That was the word I was looking for, yeah. So many people have these strange things, though. Like, Tex has gone mad with it. Simon.
Hello there.
Hello there. Okay, hi, what are you saying?
Yeah, talking about irrational fears. We found out as we were on a holiday in Carros in 2002, and my friend Louis has an irrational fear of bananas.
But how did you find that out?
Basically, there's a fruit seller that goes up and down the beach, and one of my other friends purchased some melons and some bananas, and Louis was half asleep on the sunbed, and we chucked the fruit on him and said, "Have some fruit, mate," and he absolutely freaked out. Threw the bananas back at us and run off.
Oh, God. Wow.
So it's quite exciting. It's to find out there was about 16 lads in this 1830s holiday, and we kind of, you know, the theory of facial fears, so we thought we'd help him out a little bit, and I think we made it a little bit worse.
Yeah, I think you probably did.
I mean, presumably, being kind and understanding and caring, lads, you left him alone with from bananas after that moment, did you?
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, we're all good friends. We did that for about 5 minutes. And then I don't think he'll ever forget that day, to be honest.
Okay, here's my thing, right?
Yeah.
What about... What's your friend's name?
Louis.
Louis. What about if Louis was to, as you do on holiday, go on a banana boat? You know what I mean? Loads of lads together. Hey, let's go on the banana boat. Would he freak out if he had to sit astride a big banana?
I don't know. It's funny you should say that, actually. He did tend to stay away from the water sports, and banana boats was one of the top of the agenda.
Yeah, you see?
Yeah.
It's not an actual banana, but it's in the shape of a banana. It looks like a banana, but isn't a banana, but still a problem, I think, you'll find for Lou.
He did actually say that it was the touch and the feel of it that freaked him out.
I bet you couldn't get him on a banana boat. Bet you couldn't.
We'll try next time, definitely.
All right, yeah, let me know.
I will do, no problem.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, who's that?
Katie.
Hi, Katie, where are you?
Aberdeen.
Okay, have you got one for me?
I do. I have a pretty severe fear of mayonnaise.
Mayonnaise?
Yeah.
You've always had that?
Yeah, pretty much as long as I can remember.
Why?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Was there a bad incident involving mayonnaise?
No, not that I can remember, but if it's in the same room as me, I start freaking out.
In the same room?
Yeah.
What about if you knew that someone had it in their fridge in the same, like, and you were nearby?
I'd probably be okay.
It's just when you see it.
Yeah, so hear the word. I don't like to hear the word.
What about even if you saw a jar? Do you have to see the actual mayonnaise or just a jar of mayonnaise?
Just a jar.
Oh, God.
So it's not the taste, right? You've never even tasted it?
I think a couple of times I've had it accidentally and things.
Right, well, what happens when you see a jar of mayonnaise?
It's horrible.
Sorry.
I would just, like, run away, probably.
I had tuna mayonnaise sandwiches for lunch. They were lovely.
That's really mean.
That is not very nice.
They were lovely.
Okay, here, what about salad cream?
Yeah.
Almost just as bad.
Okay. Tomato ketchup.
Oh, that's fine.
Pickle.
Pickle.
That's okay. I don't really like it.
Brown sauce.
That's fine.
So it's just the salad cream and the mayonnaise?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
How strange.
That's strange, isn't it? Yeah. But yeah. Most condiments are fine.
Yeah, most of them are okay.
Okay, let me chuck a couple more into the arena. Tartar sauce.
I think that's okay, but I don't really like it.
Okay, but you're not scared of it?
Not scared of it, no.
Horseradish.
Not scared of that, no.
No, this is going on now.
We could go on for a while, though, couldn't we, you know? Right.
Okay, thank you, love you.
Love you too.
Angela?
Hello.
You're right.
Yeah, you?
Yeah, tell me yours.
I'm scared of wind turbines. I go to absolutely ghost to bits if I see one.
A wind turbine? Did you say a wind turbine?
Yeah.
What, those big things that you drive past?
Yes.
Why?
I mean, I live in Stoke, so there's not much, there's not many of them around here, so it's not like...
Where do you live?
Stoke.
Right. Yeah, there's not that many.
There's not a lot of loads around here, but if I see one, I just absolutely go to bits, feel sick.
So let's say if you went to the kind of, Norfolk area...
I've never had the pleasure of being in Norfolk.
Oh, there's loads of them. There's loads of them. You'd freak out. You'd freak out.
So what happens if you see a wind... Is it just if you see one?
Yeah, or on TV. Because there's loads of adverts at the moment, isn't there, with wind turbines and stuff, and I just have to look down.
Are there?
The TV off.
I can't remember seeing any adverts.
Where did this irrational fear start?
I think
Were you taken to a wind farm?
No, I was halfway up the mountain in Greece in Fiat Panda.
Right.
I looked up and there just happened to be one towering above me. I think they're like aliens though. I don't know, they're just frightened me. I think they're going to chase after me.
They're not, because they're stationary generally.
I know.
And you're okay with Fiat Pandas, are you?
Fiat Pandas are alright.
Alright,
okay. God, there's loads of people. Horrible. There's loads of people with bananas on. And mayonnaise.
No other wind turbines.
No wind turbines.
I think that's quite... it is irrational, but you can understand why somebody's scared of them. Not mayonnaise, because that's not very scary. But wind turbines are huge, and they're a bit scary.
Yeah.
But they're not going to attack you. They don't have brains or anything. Rachel in Plymouth is the only one to agree with you.
Mm.
Oh, good. Mm.
My favourite is Scott in Poole. Scott in Poole is afraid of hoisin sauce.
Scott Mills.
Radio 1.
Like, properly scared of hoisin sauce.
Of what?
Hoisin sauce.
I don't know what that is.
Okay. It's off of Chinese food.
I don't know what that is. Right. Well, I know what Chinese food is. I don't like it. Obviously. I don't eat Chinese, don't I?
What is this Chinese food you speak of?
You strange man. Is it food from the Far East?
Yes, it is.
Whoa. Oh, yeah.
This is a podcast from BBC Radio 1.
So, what did you watch at the weekend? Was it I Do Anything, Britain's Got Talent, or both?
It was I Do Anything.
Yeah, me too. One BBC and all that.
I didn't see I Do Anything.
That's why I
would
do
never watch ITV.
Plus, I don't give a stuff about a dancing dog.
Mm. Well, dog didn't win, did it?
I don't know.
So fickle. Like last week, do you remember when I said about the dog? Everyone was like, oh, stop that, Mills. The dog's brilliant.
Got a load of it.
Where were you all? Where were you all on Saturday night?
That's right.
Didn't vote, did you? No. Not enough of you anyway.
And all those people that texted in could have affected the... difference could have made the difference, couldn't they? Out of a 40
wasn't
million
that brilliant,
TV
was
audience.
Also, what happened on the Saturday?
It was good. I did watch a bit of the dog, but Simon's comment after the dog had been on, I thought was brilliant.
I mean, what we saw tonight was totally unique. It wouldn't be the first time there's been a dog at the Royal Variety, so.
Right, what's he saying there?
When he said that, he glanced really slyly sideways to Amanda and, like, raised his eyebrows. Like,
so he's calling Amanda holding a dog?
Basically. But I think it would have been glossed over had Ant not gone, like...
Bide your time, Amanda. Get him back.
So I really, really...
He didn't mean you, Lars.
I wasn't talking about you.
Well, were you, though? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Hmm. He kind of implied, well, yeah. Ant made it worse by drawing attention to it.
Yeah.
I don't think he was talking about Amanda at all, but Ant obviously thought he was.
Yeah, I know. He made it a lot worse.
And even if he wasn't, she thinks that now.
He also, let's not forget, said totally unique, and that's wrong. It's either unique or not.
Totally unique, yeah. We had that before. You can't be totally unique. That you hate that, don't you?
I do hate that, yeah.
You've got an irrational fear of totally unique.
But if he wasn't talking about Amanda, who was he talking about?
Who was he talking about? Good point.
How many dogs are there at the Royal Variety?
Well... I'm not going to say. I don't want my head chopped off.
I don't think we want to go down here.
I don't want to be done for treason.
What happened on I Do Anything then?
No, this is good. So it's down to the last two, Jodie and Jessie.
Yeah.
And before the, because it's announced by the public vote, before the public were given the chance to vote, the, Graham Norton asked the judges who they would have picked. So they basically had to lay everything down and say, this is who I picked.
John. Jodie. Denise.
I think, Jessie, you're a true star, but based on consistency throughout this series, I'm going to say Jodie.
Barry, you're next.
Jessie.
Cameron.
Jessie is Nancy.
Let's check in with Andrew.
Jessie.
So there, the two most important people and Barry Humphries, Cameron McIntosh and Sir Andrew Lloyd Webber,
who have run the musical.
Yeah, who have both in charge of everything, putting all their money into it, have both said Jessie.
Right.
And also want it to be a commercial success because then they'll get a lot of money back out of it.
Yeah.
They've all thought Jessie.
And then...
The winning Nancy is... Jodie!
Oh.
The other thing that happened was when they were doing their last two songs, Jodie and Jessie, when Jodie finished hers, Cameron McIntosh just sat there and kind of applauded like that. When Jessie finished hers, he was up on his feet going, bravo, bravo, like that.
Oh, no.
But the thing is now, they can't change their minds because 10 minutes earlier they've both said, and Cameron's actually said, Jessie is Nancy.
Yeah.
So Jodie's there going, oh, I'm so chuffed, I'm so chuffed. Then Graham obviously asked them how they feel and they've got to be quite diplomatic.
Andrew, once again, you put your faith in the public. Are you pleased with the result?
Yeah, the people's Nancy. That was always going to be the people's choice, I thought.
Oh, dear.
As in, the people have got it wrong.
And then, this is the best one, Cameron's reaction.
So Cameron also pretending to be happy.
Cameron, are you happy?
I'm thrilled for Jodie. Congratulations.
He could be a politician with the way he swerved that.
Jessie is Nancy.
Oh, well, not. Podcast. Do you know who's really upset they didn't get to the Mambo Twister first, I bet?
Who?
The people at our favourite TV show, Beat the Star. They could have had a great game with the Mambo Twister, couldn't they? Was it any good this week?
It was, but I'm a bit concerned because it was Martina Navratilova and a woman. I wouldn't like to see them on the Mambo Twister having a wee.
What do you mean, Anna? What do you mean? And a woman.
Yeah.
Martina Navratilova and a woman.
I can't remember her name.
And another woman.
Yeah, no,
another woman is what you meant to say.
Key.
You're a bit upset with
words into my mouth.
Bit upset with Vernon.
I am really upset with Vernon this week because he's like he's gone back to the 70s. He was incredibly sexist. I thought he was a man of today.
Ladies and gentlemen, are you ready to meet tonight's challenger? Well, we've got an NHS doctor who runs, cycles, abseils and kayaks. And she's a girl.
What? And she's a girl.
Because girls can't do any of that, can they?
No.
We've got an NHS doctor who runs, cycles, abseils and kayaks.
And
she's a girl.
Unbelievable.
I am absolutely astonished.
Imagine that like girls could do all of that. You'd never think it, would you?
They can actually kayak.
They can kayak and everything and be doctors.
Apparently they can run.
Yeah, and run.
I thought all girls that worked in the NHS were nurses. But some are actually doctors.
Some are doctors,
wow.
Yeah. Yep. And they had a good new game on.
Yeah, this is a good one this week. It's a jigsaw puzzle.
So they made Martina Navratilova do a jigsaw puzzle.
Yeah.
Okay.
The big picture is very simple. It's a jigsaw puzzling competition.
Right, good.
He's trying to make it not sound like a jigsaw by saying it's a jigsaw.
But it blatantly
puzzling
is a jigsaw puzzle. Yeah.
The aim of the game is to complete your 30-piece jigsaw faster than your opponent.
Seems pretty simple to me.
Wow. Okay. And then the commentator comes on.
I love it how he gets so excited. Okay, so these two people are doing a jigsaw puzzle of a cat and a duck. And he's got to make it sound interesting.
This show gets better.
So just how well have these two memorised the picture of Charlie the kitten and the Indian runner ducklings?
Ah, the stupid English people bought this show.
And now we're going to make them do a jigsaw. Just a simple jigsaw of a duck.
And they put it on primetime TV.
Maybe we should get to Mambo Twister and see if they'll do anything with that.
Now this next bit says Martina spreads out her pieces. Do I really want people to hear that?
Sorry, that was my fault.
All right.
It's perfectly safe.
I might take my headphones off. I'm not sure I want to hear it.
Just wanted to check before I played it, but if you say it's fine, yeah?
Okay.
Now Martina spreading all the pieces out, maybe looking for one or two corners and edges. Well, as you can see, Rachel's gone straight for the face of the tabby cat.
They're doing a jigsaw.
They are. But
on ITV1.
I think this whole game has been set up so the commentator can get in his jigsaw puzzle facts.
Okay.
Martina's method might work better if she was tackling the world's biggest jigsaw, some 24,000 pieces, but here with these two big images, perhaps Rachel's approach and her visualisation is a little stronger.
Get him with his jigsaw
facts. I never realised there were different techniques depending on what size jigsaw you would do.
Once again, we are loving Beat the Star.
The other games that they had on this weekend, guess how many toilet rolls are in a car and make a cheese sandwich, make sure it weighs 440 grams.
I love it. Radio 1 Podcast.
That was the Scott Mills Daily. Why not try the best of Chris Moyles? Available now to download for free at bbc.co.uk/radio1.